Here at the outset, I would like to bring you greetings from my dear wife Peggy.
Att börja med så vill jag hälsa ifrån min kära kona Peggy.
She got to know some of you when we were here speaking at a Bible conference up north of here.
Hur blev känt med någon av dere när man var på bibelkonferensen på Sygna för några år sedan.
I also bring greetings from the assemblies in Austria.
Vill också bringa hälsningar ifrån menigheten i Österrike.
I've been enjoying my time here in Norway.
Jag har haft en fin tid här i Norge.
In fact, I enjoyed my time up until now so much that my trousers don't fit.
Jag har faktiskt haft så gott fram till nu att byxorna passar inte längre.
So I apologize for the blue jeans, all right?
Så ursäkta för dongre byxorna.
Just imagine gray slacks and a gray sweater. And a grey tie.
Chaufförer dock en grå dressbuksa och en grå gensi och grått slips.
As I've heard, we're going to talk about the Gospel of John.
Som det blev sagt så ska vi snacka om Johannes evangeliet.
It's an interesting book because it's the book we use to start non-Christians out reading the Bible.
Det är en intressant bok för det är den bok vi plejer och begynna med bland när man arbetar bland icke-kristna.
It's the book we use to teach to ground young believers in the faith, together with the book of Romans.
Och så är det bok som är i samma romarbrev brukar när man jobbar med nya kristna.
And so it's shallow enough to bathe a baby in.
Så det är grunt nog till att bada en baby i det.
But it's deep enough to drown an elephant.
Men det är djupt nog till att drunkna en elefant.
There is no profounder book in the whole of Scripture than the Gospel of John.
Det är inte någon djupare bok i hela Bibeln än Johannes evangeliet.
If I ever get incarcerated, hopefully for my faith, I hope to take the Gospel of John with me.
Hvis jeg noen gang skulle komme havne i fengsel for forhåpentligvis på grunn av troen min, så har jeg lyst til å ta med meg Johannes evangeliet der.
Even if I had no other book of the Bible, I would prefer to have this book.
Så selv om jeg ikke kunne få fick valget med alla andra böcker i Bibeln så jag valt denna.
I remember 2 years ago I was in North America with very gifted young people from Northern California.
För några år sedan så var jag i Amerika i lag med någon våldsamt begåvad unga män från Nordkalifornien.
You know the Christian definition of young people.
Unga folk, det menar den kristna definitionen på unga folk.
If you're teaching the word, then 85 and under is young people.
Hvis du undervisar i Guds ord så är allt under 85 år blir definierat som unga folk.
And so there were a few veterans in the group.
Så det var ett par veteraner i gruppen.
You know, it's sort of different than the games we play. We play games from 8 to 80, it says on the game you play, you see.
Det är lite förskälligt för sådana brettspel som spelas så står där ifrån 8 till 80 på.
But with Christians it's from 80 to 8.
Men när det gäller kristna så är det från 80 till 8.
And we studied the Gospel of John for 54 hours in 6 days.
Vi studerade Johannes evangeliet i 54 timmar på 6 dagar.
We had prepared together for 6 months.
Vi hade förberett detta i lag i 6 månader.
These people had read the Gospel of John again and again and again and done studies in it.
Och dessa folk där hade läst Johannes evangeliet om och om igen och studerat det grundigt.
And I have to say it was the most thrilling time of teaching the word in my life.
Och jag måste säga det var det mest fantastiska tider jag hade med att undervisa Guds ord i hela mitt liv.
Although I taught 9 hours a day.
Körde mig snackade i 9 timmar per dag.
And worked with him for 9 hours a day.
Eller arbetade med i 9 timmar per dag.
Now we can't hope in 3 evenings, 2 hours apiece with translation to get very far.
Så man kan ha något hopp om att komma förfärligt långt på 3 kvällar, 2 timmar kvar kväll med översättelse.
And at the outset I'll tell you I'll say nothing about John 13 to 17.
Och därför så säger jag inte börja med att jag vill inte säga någonting om Johannes 13-17.
My mentor in things Bible study, Professor Dr. David Gooding, has written a book.
Mentoren min när det gäller bibelstudium, Professor David Gooding, han har skrivit en bok om detta.
It is one of the most, it's, I think, perhaps the most excellent book that I know written on a Bible book.
Och jag tror kanske det är den bästa bok jag vet om så handlar om en bibelbok.
It's called The Way of Holiness, and it discusses John chapters 13 to 17. It's called The Way of Holiness,
the way of
or
holiness.
Highway of Holiness, And it's John 13 to 17.
Det handlar om Johannes 13-17.
So I highly recommend that book.
Jag kan varmt anbefala den boken.
And if you come here for three evenings and learn nothing but the title of that book.
Och hvis du kommer här I kväll och lär något annat än titeln på den boken.
You've profited from the evenings.
In the School of Christ.
Yeah, School of Christ. Who cares what it's called? It's
most important.
In the School of Christ heter det också någon plats.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's married to a German. And they have correction fluid in their blood.
Just go on.
All right. So what I'm going to do is what my dad did with me when I was a little boy.
Så det jag kommer att göra, det är det farmen gjorde med mig när jag var en liten gutt.
He would take me to the river.
Han tog mig ner till älven.
And he would turn over stones.
Och så snudde han över stenar.
And I would catch the crawfish.
Och så fick jag tag I fisk.
And with the crawfish, I would catch the bass and the trout.
Med små fisk kan det vara en sort där. Och så fiskar jag öre och andra fiskar med den.
Bass and trout, not just fiske, okay?
Öre.
All right.
I knew one of them.
All right. It's important when you're talking about fish that you get that straight.
Det är viktigt att få allt rätt när man snackar om fisk.
And until this day, when I fish in my home stream,
och helt till denna dag när jag fiskar I hemmabäcken min,
people are amazed how many fish I catch.
Så blir folk helt överväldigade över hur mycket fisk jag får.
And they say, "How did you do that?"
Så frågar de, "Hur fick du det till?"
I said, "I guess I was lucky."
Så säger jag, "Jag hade sannolikt flax."
I would never tell you, perhaps Fruta, but never tell you how I catch fish in my home stream.
Jag vill aldrig fortalt någon av dig, kanske Fruta, hur jag fångar fisk I hemmabäcken min.
But when we're talking about the Bible,
men om vi snackar om Bibeln,
I would like to turn over a few stones.
Så har jag lust att snu ett par stenar.
And just as it is the case with fishing.
Och på samma måten så det är när det gäller fiske.
I have a whole lot more fun when my children and now my grandchildren catch fish.
Så är det mycket mer skoj för mig när ungarna mina och när barnbarnen mina fångar
fisk. I catch fish.
Än när jag själv fångar fisk.
In fact, I was asked by a group of unbelievers what I do for a living.
Faktiskt så blev jag spurt en gång av en grupp med icke-kristna vad jag gjorde, vad levebröd hade.
I said I've written a couple of books and a bunch of articles, but I'm not a writer.
Så säger jag, jag skrev ett par böcker och hög med artiklar, men jag är inte en författare.
I teach all the time, but I and talk and give lectures, but I wouldn't say I'm a professor.
Och jag undervisar hela tiden och håller föredrag, men jag vill inte säga att jag är en professor.
But you know what I love to do?
Men vet du vad jag älskar att göra?
I love to see the sparkle in an adult's eyes.
Jag älskar att se glimten I en vuxens öga.
When they discover for the first time how fascinating the Bible is.
Glittring I ögonen deras när de upptäcker för första gången hur fascinerande Bibeln är.
And how to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Och hur de kan känna Herren Jesus Kristus.
And all these unbelievers are sitting there, you know. Oh, is that what you do?
Alla dessa icke-kristna, är det det du håller på med?
When are you going to give some talks in Salzburg?
Kan du ska du ha föredrag I Salzburg?
I said I thought you'd never ask.
Så säger jag att jag stod aldrig då kom till spöra.
So I would rather see your eyes sparkle.
Så jag vill hellre se det glittra I ögonen deras.
By discovering something in the scripture for yourself, then telling you what the scripture says.
För på grund av att du uppdagar något I skriften själv, än att fortälla dig vad skriften säger.
And so if I just turn over a few stones.
Så hvis jag nu bara snur ett par stenar.
Instead of overviewing the whole book.
I stan för oss ge ett I översikt över hela boken.
If I give you an idea of how to read John, then that's I will consider my task fulfilled.
Så jag bara ger dig en idé om hur du ska läsa Johannes evangeliet själv, så ser jag uppdraget mitt som fullbordat.
Now, the first question we ask, what would we be missing if we didn't have this book in the Bible?
Och det första frågan man ska spöra stilla, det är vad hade man gått glipp av hvis denne bok inte stod I Bibeln?
Well, I don't know if Haggai would do as much damage.
Jag vet inte om det hade gjort så mycket skada om Haggai manglar.
Or even Esther.
Eller till och med Esters bok.
But if we didn't have the Gospel of John.
Men hvis vi inte hade Johannes evangeliet.
We would be in serious trouble.
Så hade man haft stora problem.
What's so special about John?
Vad är så speciellt med Johannes evangeliet?
Almost everything.
Mest allt.
We have four Gospels.
Vi har fyra evangelier.
But the vast majority of John is his own material that's not mentioned in any of other of the gospels.
Men mesteparten av Johannes evangeliet, hans eget material, som ikke ble nevnt i noen av de andre evangeliene.
It's interesting. He doesn't even have the Lord's Supper.
Det er interessant, han har ikke engang Herrens nattverd i evangeliet.
The other gospels talk about blood.
De andre evangeliene snakker om blod.
John talks about water.
Johannes snakker om vatten.
They don't even mention the foot washing.
Og de andre nevner ikke engang fotvasking.
John is not concerned with the Sermon on the Mount.
Johannes, han er ikke spesielt interessert i bergpreken.
He's not even concerned with that sermon that all three of the synoptics preach.
Og heller ikke den talen som alle tre av de synoptiske evangeliene forkynner.
And that's the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24-25.
Nemlig talen på Oljeberget, Matteus 24-25.
Well, that's already been fulfilled partly by the time John writes.
Men på det tidspunktet Johannes skrev dette, så hadde noe av dette her blitt delvis oppfylt allerede.
He isn't interviewing sources like Luke.
Han intervjuer ikke kilder som Lukas gjør.
Because he is the only source left.
For han er den eneste kilden, sier han.
I want to tell you something about John.
Jeg vil fortelle dere noe om Johannes.
Imagine an old man.
Forestill dere en gammel mann.
He's about to die.
Han skal snart dø.
And he knows that on his death's day, the last of the old first generation passes away.
Och han vet att på hans dödsdag så går den sista av den första generationen bort.
And he can build upon the work of the first three evangelists.
Och han kan bygga på arbetet de tre första evangelisterna.
And so he comes to us.
Och så kommer han till oss.
And it's though the old man puts his arm around us.
Så det är som den gamle mannen lägger armen runt oss.
He whispers in our ears.
Och så kviskrar han i öronen våra.
Let me tell you something the others failed to say.
Låt mig fortälla dig något som de andra inte sa.
Let me tell you something we failed to understand.
Låt mig fortälla dig något som vi inte förstod till att börja med.
You see, there's a motif in his book.
För du ser där ett motiv i boken hans.
Where Jesus speaks to the disciples and he speaks plainly of his death.
Där Jesus snackar till disciplarna och snackar rätt fram om sin död.
He speaks plainly of other issues.
Han snackar rätt ut om andra saker.
And they don't understand.
Och så förstår de det inte.
They would only understand at a later date when the Holy Spirit was given.
De kom kun till förstå en annan gång när den helige ande blev gett.
There's a delay in the understanding of the apostles in this book that is warp and woof of its own apologetic.
Där är en försinkelse i förståelsen av apostlarna i denna boken som är grundläggande för trosforsvaret til denne boken.
In fact, when John writes, he will also speak to his reader with delayed evidence.
Faktisk er det sånn at når Johannes skriver dette her, så snakker han også om forsinket bevis til leserne sine.
It's almost as though he's saying, look,
det er som om han sier, se her.
I leaned upon his breast.
Jeg lente meg opp imot hans bryst.
I know how his voice sounds until this day.
Jeg vet fremdeles den dag i dag hvordan stemmen hans høres ut.
I could even distinguish the smell of his clothes today.
Jeg kunne til og med kjent igjen lukt av klærne hans i dag.
I was there.
Jeg var der.
Let me explain how it was back then.
La meg forklare hvordan det var den gang.
And what we would only later understand.
Og hva vi først senere kom til å forstå.
You say, how could a man describe things, dialogue and monologue, 50 years later?
Så säger du, hur kan en beskriva dialoger och monologer 50 år efterpå?
You know, when I was a teenager, I was in love with girls. I can't even remember their name today.
När jag var tenåring så var jag förälskad i en tjej. Jag minns inte ens namnet deras idag.
50 years later, I just think about that song by Garth Brooks, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers.
50 år senere så tenker jeg bare på den sangen til Garth Brooks. Takk, priser Gud for ubesvarte bønner.
But I don't even know the names anymore.
Men jeg vet ikke engang navnene lenger.
How can it be that a man 50 years later can report, and Jesus said, and quotes word for word, and they said, and quotes word for word, and quotes long passages of monologue?
Hvordan kan det ha seg at en mann 50 år etterpå kan sitere og si Jesus sa, og så lange sitater, og de sa, og lange sitater?
Of course, that's one of the main reasons this book is criticized by the critics on the universities.
Og selvsagt er det en av grunnene til at denne boken blir heftig kritisert av kritikerne på universitetene.
But John says this.
Men Johannes sier dette.
That Jesus said one of these days, if he goes away, the Holy Spirit would come.
Men han säger att en av dessa dagar när jag går bort så kommer den helige ande att komma.
And he would lead the apostles into all the truth.
Och han ska leda dem in I hela sanningen.
Now you may claim that verse in a secondary sense. Lord, you said you'd lead us into all the truth.
Och du kan ta detta verset I en sekundär förstånd och säga till Herren att Herre du sa att du skulle leda oss in I hela sanningen.
But evidently he hasn't done so.
Men det är inte att han har gjort.
You asked any two Christians about some critical doctrine.
Du kan spöra kalla sig helst två kristna med en kritisk lärosättning.
It's like in the high school where they're teaching biology where I live, you know.
Det är också på gymnasiet där jag bor när de lär undervisar I biologi.
The teacher takes an earthworm and puts it in a transparent liquid.
Så läraren tar en mack och så lägger han I en genomsiktig klar väska.
And the earthworm climbs out of the glass.
Och macken klättrar ut ur glaset.
Takes a second earthworm, puts it in a glass of clear liquid.
Och så tar han en annan mack och lägger den upp ett glas med klar väska.
And the late and the teacher says and the worm dies immediately.
Och macken dör I ögonblicket.
And the teacher says this glass is water and this glass is alcohol.
Så säger läraren detta glas är vatten och det andra är alkohol.
Now, pupils, what do we learn from this experiment?
Och så frågar han elever, kan lära mig av detta experimentet?
And the little Håkon says.
Little Håkon säger.
If we drink enough alcohol, we won't have any worms.
Hvis vi dricker nok alkohol så kommer vi ikke til å få makk.
Now that's the way Christians interpret scripture today.
Och det är den måten kristne tolkar Bibeln idag.
They hear hoof beatings, you know, hoof.
Yeah, they hear hovslag.
And they think zebra.
Så tänker de zebra.
It may be a zebra.
Det kan vara en zebra.
But in differential diagnosis in medical studies, you learn it's probably a horse.
Men när du lärer de differential diagnoser när du studerar medicin, så vet du att det sannolikt är en häst.
Although you may have had a dismal experience, the Lord leading you in all the truth.
Så själv om du kan ha att en fel upplevelse när det gäller det att Herren skulle leda dig in I all en skuffande upplevelse när det gäller att Herren skulle leda dig in I all sannhet.
That was a promise to his apostles.
Så var det ett löfte till hans apostlar.
And the results of that promise is right here.
Och resultatet av detta löfte har du här.
He reminded them of things that happened decades before, of conversations.
Han minnte på ting som hände 10 år I förväg om samtalar.
And the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, combining spiritual thoughts with spirit-taught words, gave them the mind of Christ.
Den helige ånd kombinerade andliga tankar med andliga ord och gav de Kristi sinn I 1 Korintherbrevet 2.
And no book of the Bible shows us this process like the Gospel of John.
Och ingen annan bok I Bibeln visar oss denna processen som Johannes evangeliet.
But if I were to ask you tonight, why was the Gospel of John written? What would you say?
Men hvis jeg spør deg I kveld, hvorfor ble Johannes evangeliet skrevet? Hva vil du da si?
Don't be like that man on the wedding feast who had nothing to say and got thrown out in the outer darkness.
Inte var som han på bröllopsfesten så inte hade något att säga till sitt försvar blev heven ut I det yttersta mörker.
Why is the Gospel of John written?
Varför blev Johannes evangeliet skrivet? Chapter 20, verse 31.
Why don't you say it loud enough to hear it, okay? Chapter 20, verse...
31.
That's right.
Kapitel 20, verse 31.
Well, that's a good try.
Det ett gott försök.
These things are written, these signs are written,
dessa tegn blir skrivna,
so that you might know that Jesus is the Christ.
Så att du kan skönja att Jesus är Kristus.
So that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name. That's a very good answer. And if we talk about faith, We better see how John defines faith. He'll be very careful to do so.
Så må vi være nøye med å se hvordan Johannes definerer tro.
You see, it says, many came who believed on him.
For det står at mange kom og trodde på han.
And he said to them, if you are truly my disciples, you will remain in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Og så sier han at hvis dere i sannhet mine disipler, så vil dere bli i mine ord, og sannheten vil sette dere fri.
And those believers said, well, are you implying that we are slaves? You're crazy, man.
Og disse troende sier, implicerer du nå at vi er slaver? Du gal, mann.
And just 20 verses later,
og bare 20 vers senere,
they're picking up stones to kill him, these believers are.
Så tar disse troende opp steiner for å steine han.
And so in John, there's faith, and then there's real faith.
Så i Johannes evangeliet har du tro, og så har du sanne tro.
I just came back from India.
And
the Indian co-workers I was working with would just tell people, well, just you need to just receive Christ. I said, wait a minute. To the missionaries. What do you mean by receive Christ? Well, they said, you know, receive Christ.
I said, ja, du vet, ta imot Kristus.
What do you mean when you say receive Christ?
Hva mener du når du sier å ta imot Jesus?
Well, see, these poor missionaries didn't understand what they meant themselves.
Disse stakkars misjonærene visste ikke engang selv hva de mente.
And how are the unbelievers to understand it?
Hvordan skulle de ikke kristne forstå dette?
One poor missionary woman said, well, we tell them to ask Jesus into your heart.
Jesus sa de stakkars misjonærene at vi sier til dem at de skal be Jesus komme inn i
hjertet sitt. Where did you get that?
Og så sier jeg, hvor fikk du det ifra?
Well, of course she got that in the children's meeting.
Jeg lærte jo det på barnemøtet.
You know, God never tells you to ask Jesus into your heart.
Gud sier aldri til deg at du skal ta imot Jesus, slippe Jesus inn i hjertet.
He commands you to repent and believe.
Han befaler deg å omvende deg og tro.
And your reception of Christ is your willingness to acknowledge him as the Messiah sent from God and to believe in him.
Och det att ta emot han, det är också ge Gud rätt i att han är Messias sänd ifrån Gud och tro på han.
I say that only to say that we, as we read John's gospel, as you have time to study it for your own.
Vi säger bara för visa att när man läser Johannes evangelium, när du studerar det på egen hand.
These crucial issues of receiving Christ and believing on him.
Så er det noen ytterst viktige ting som omhandler å ta imot Kristus og tro på ham.
Of understanding what it means that he is the Christ, John will define that.
Å forstå hva det betyr at han er Kristus. Johannes definerer det for oss.
I grew up in church like you kids.
Jeg vokste opp i en menighet som dere unger.
And I said, well, Jesus Christ.
Og så sa jeg, ja, Jesus Kristus.
And sometimes I heard them read Christ Jesus.
Og så hørte jeg av at de leste Kristus Jesus.
Oh man, I thought I understood it. You know, that's like Fred Calvin. And when you go to school, you're Calvin Fred.
Og så trodde jeg at jeg forstod det, for det er at du heter Fred Calvin, og så når du begynner å beskule, så heter du Calvin Fred.
You say, I must have really been dumb. I guess I was.
Så sier du at du må jo være dum, og det var ikke.
But ask a Christian to describe for you what it means, the Christ.
Men spør en kristen om å beskrive for deg hva det betyr.
Or what does it mean when Jesus is the Son of Man?
Eller hva betyr det når det står at Jesus er menneskesønn?
Well, they'll say, well, he's a real man.
Og så vil de si, jo, han er jo et ekte menneske.
No, no, that's a terminus technicus.
Nei, dette er et teknisk begrep.
He is the man. He is the man who will one day, riding on the clouds, appear before the Ancient of Days.
Han er den mannen som skal en dag på himmelen skyer og stige fram for den gamle av dagen.
Will receive the authority
och ta emot autoriteten
to come back here and judge this earth.
That's the Son of Man. Herte och döma denna världen, det är människosönen.
And that's what John will tell you.
Och det är det Johannes berättar dig.
And so this book is going to define for us the Christian faith.
Och på den måten så kommer denna bok till att definiera för oss vad den kristna tron är.
Not standing in the shadow of the other three evangelists, but on their shoulders.
Det står i skuggen av de andra tre evangelierna, men det står på skuldrorna deras.
John will take us in for a closer look.
Johannes tar oss med på ett närare syn på saken.
We'll see not only the actions of the Lord, like in the book of Mark.
Vi ser ikke bare handlingene til Herren, som i Markus evangeliet.
And the teaching of our Lord, like in the book of Matthew.
Eller undervisningen til Herren, som i Matteus evangeliet.
We'll get so close to him, we can smell him.
Men vi kommer så nærme at vi kan lukte han.
And we get to know the explanations.
Og så blir vi kjent med forklaringene.
That so many never knew before.
Som så mange ikke har hørt om før eller kjent før.
And as we read the book, we keep our eyes open for what's special about it.
Og når man skal lese boken, så skal man prøve å ha øynene åpne for hva som er spesielt med det.
I want to give you an example. Let's look at John chapter 4 for a minute.
Jeg vil gi dere et eksempel. La oss se et øyeblikk på Johannes 4.
Chapter 4, 25 to 27.
Vers 25-27. Kvinnen sier til ham, «Jeg vet at Messias kommer, han som kalles Kristus. Når han kommer, skal han forkynne oss alt.» Jesus sier til henne, «Jeg er det, jeg som taler med deg.» I det samme kom hans disipler, og de undret seg over at han talte med en kvinne. Likevel spurte ingen, hva vil du henne, eller hvorfor taler du med henne?
Now, this is a strange verse.
Dette et merkelig vers.
Or does it seem strange to you?
Eller virker det merkelig for dere?
Or do you read the Bible so much and so casually that you've lost your wonder when you read it?
Eller leser du Bibelen så mye og så overfladisk, at du har mist undringen når du leser.
You see, it's easier to read when you've read the Bible for many years to get sort of in a cadence of reading the Bible. You know what's coming in the next verse anyway, you see.
For det lett når du leser Bibelen i mange år, kommer inn i et spor. Du vet hva som kommer i det neste verset.
Da 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 And you read the Bible.
Så leser du Bibelen.
Trying to keep you awake, buddy. Got to watch Elijah here. All right. What caught you about that verse?
Hva var det du merket deg med dette verset?
What was strange about that verse?
Hva var det så merkelig med det verset?
Aaliyah, what was strange about that verse?
I don't even know which word you mean.
You weren't listening.
Yes, I was.
Verse 27.
27, okay. Maybe I'm just guessing that the disciples wondered that he talked to a woman.
Isn't that funny? Elijah understood the question, nobody else.
Til Martin, Elias forstod spørsmålet, ingen andre.
That's weird.
Det merkeligt.
And God is trying to grab your attention, you know?
Og Gud vil ha tak I oppmerksomheten, dere ser.
Like the little boy that went to our school, you know, and the director was not sure if he was ready for school.
Og den som den lille gutten som kom til skolen vår, så var rektor ikke helt sikker på om han var skolemoden.
So he says, how many ears does the Mr. Director have, Alois?
Så spør han, Alois, hvor mange ører har rektor?
He said, two!
Two, son.
And the Holy Spirit saying, hey, listen.
Og den hellige ånd sier, hey, hør etter.
Jesus is behaving in a way that the people aren't understanding. He's talking to a woman.
Jesus oppfører seg på en måte så folk ikke forstår. Han snakker med en kvinne.
And 20 centuries later, you're saying, hey, Jesus is behaving as a normal human being, and the disciples are weird, aren't you?
Og 20 århundre senere så sier dere at Jesus oppfører seg som et helt vanlig menneske, og disiplene oppfører seg merkelig.
Do you see what I mean?
Ser du hva jeg mener?
Thank you. You see what I mean.
Takk,
I got one. Do you see what I mean? you see one, then do that. Okay. Need some cooperation from the from those in the seminar, all right?
Like lit samarbeid med de som de sier.
That is the way a Bible writer gets your attention.
Det er den måten forfatteren av Bibelen får tak i oppmerksomheten din på.
If Luke begins a chapter by saying Barnabas and Paul fought in a very determined way to say disciple circumcision for a believer, no way.
Hvis Lukas begynner et kapittel med å si at Paulus og Barnabas kjemper hardt for at troende ikke skulle omskjæres.
And he ends the same chapter with another fight, but this time between Paul and Barnabas.
Og så slutter kapitlet med en annen kamp, men da var det Paulus og Barnabas som kjemper mot hverandre.
And then Paul circumcises Timothy.
Og så omskjærer Paulus Timoteus etterpå.
He's trying to get your attention.
Så er det sånn at han prøver å få tak i oppmerksomheten deres.
About the main thing he's saying in the chapter.
Om hovedtemaet hans for dette kapitlet.
So often things in the Bible puzzle us.
Så ofte er det sånn at vi blir forvirret av ting vi leser i Bibelen.
That's strange.
Det var merkeligt.
And that makes us unhappy somehow.
Og så på en måte blir vi ulykkelige av det.
But that is often the writer trying to get you to understand things at a deeper level.
Men det er ofte forfatteren som prøver å få deg til å forstå ting på et dypere nivå.
It was strange for Jesus to speak to a woman.
Det var merkeligt for Jesus.
In fact, it was revolutionary in his culture.
Faktisk var det revolutionært i hans kultur.
It was Ben Yehuda tells the story of the daughter of a rabbi from Galilee.
Ben Yehuda fortæller historien om datteren til en rabbi fra Galilea.
And a rabbi from Judea is ask her for directions.
Og rabbien fra Galilea, han spør henne om veien.
And he says, excuse me, could you tell me the way to Nazareth?
Han spør, sier, unnskyld, kan du fortelle meg veien til Nazareth?
And she answered, you fool, you rabbi.
Så svarer hun, din tosk, du rabbi.
You should have said, which way Nazareth?
Du skulle ha sagt, hva vei Nazareth?
In other words, you're spending too many words, you're wasting too many words on a woman.
Med andre ord, du bruker alt for mange ord på en kvinne.
Nicodemus, how do you say it? You believe it? There's a tradition going back to him where he said he quotes another rabbi.
Der en överlevering så går tillbaka till Nicodemus, där en annan rabbi blir citerat.
Who said if a man speaks to his wife, he's a fool.
Där han sa att hvis en man snackar med konan så är han en tosk.
If he speaks to another woman, he's in danger of hell itself.
Og hvis han snakker til en annen dame, så er han i fare for å havne i helvete.
Now those are rabbis of the time giving their opinions on speaking to women.
Så det er rabbier for den tiden som sier sin mening om det å snakke med kvinner.
But you don't need to know that.
Men du trenger ikke vite det.
You know, it's so funny. People give us the impression sometimes we can only understand the New Testament if we understand all the Jewish background.
For det er så morsomt. Folk sier til oss av, de gir oss av et inntrykk av at du kan ikke forstå det Nye Testamentet hvis du ikke forstår hele den jødiske bakgrunnen.
That's ridiculous.
Det er latterligt.
The text itself told you basically what I told you. It was strange for a man to speak to a woman.
For teksten sier dere allerede dette, at det var merkelig for en mann å snakke om en kvinne.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Men hva har det med noe ting som helst å gjøre da?
Well, it has everything to do with anything in John's Gospel.
Men det har alt å gjøre med hva som helst i Johannes evangeliet.
Because he not only speaks to a woman in chapter 4.
For han snakker ikke bare med en kvinne i kapittel 4.
He speaks to a woman in chapter 8.
Han snakker også med en kvinne i kapittel 8.
The woman in chapter 4 was bad enough. Hollywood for helpness. Hollywood lifestyle.
Kvinner i kapittel 4 var gal nok. Det var en Hollywood-livsstil.
The lady in chapter 8 was worse. She was an adulteress.
Men i kapittel 8 var enda verre. Hun var grepen i hor.
And come to think of it, he spoke to a woman in chapter 2.
Når jeg tenker på det, så snakket han med en kvinne i kapittel 2.
Well, it was his mother, but it was still talking to a woman.
Ja, det var mor hans, men det var fremdeles som snakket med en kvinne.
And he spoke to another woman in chapter 11.
Og så snakket han med en kvinne i kapittel 11.
In fact, he talked to two of them Jag faktiskt, Martha and Mary.
Faktiskt snackade med två, Martha och Maria.
About deep theological truths that not even his disciples understood.
Om djupa teologiska sanningar som inte ens disciplarna hans förstod.
He speaks to his mother again in the shadow of the cross.
Och han snackar till mors igen när hon står i skyggen av korset.
And finally, he has a deep, deep conversation, perhaps the deepest on a spiritual level, with Mary Magdalene outside of his tomb.
Så han en våldsamt djup samtal, kanske den djupaste andliga samtal med Maria Magdalena utanför graven.
So think about this for a moment.
Så tänk på detta ett ögonblick.
John will tell you it was strange, considered strange at that time for a man, Jewish man, to speak to a woman.
Johannes fortæller at det på den tiden så blev det sett på som noget mærkeligt at den jødiske mand snakkede med en kvinde.
And he's the only one that tells you the story.
Og så han den eneste som fortæller denne historie.
And then he's going to tell you five other stories.
Og så kommer han til at fortælle dig fem andre fortællinger.
About Jesus speaking to women.
Der Jesus snakker til kvinder.
That no other apostle is going to tell you.
Så der ingen andre apostler som kommer til at fortælle dig.
I think we're onto something.
Jeg tror vi nærmer oss et eller annet
her. Six conversations with women. They're only in John's gospel.
Seks samtaler med kvinner, så alle er kun i Johannes evangeliet.
It might be good to look at them more closely.
Det kan jo være at det lønner seg å se nærmere på disse.
Now women have their strengths and they have their weaknesses.
Men det er sånn at kvinner har sine styrker og sine svakheter.
I'm not talking about driving a car now.
Jeg snakker ikke om det å kjøre bil nå.
Because it's been in Austria at least. More men cause accidents than women do, all right?
For i alle fall er det jo sånn i Østerrike at det er flere mannfolk som skaper ulykker med biler.
So the next time a man runs a red light, you ladies say, oh no, another man driver, okay?
Så neste gang en mann kjører på rødt lys, så kan dere slå dere i hovedet og kvinner og si, enda en mann.
And one of their strengths is this.
Men en av styrkene deres er dette.
They're very relational.
De er voldsomt opptatt av relasjoner.
They want deep relationships.
De vil ha dype forhold og relasjoner.
They seem more capable of it.
Det ser ut som de er mer i stand
til. It seems to be higher on their priority list.
Det ser ut til å være stå høyere på prioriteringslisten.
And these six conversations with women.
Og disse seks samtalene med kvinner.
Describe something at the very heart of John's gospel.
De beskriver noe som er helt i med hjertet av Johannes evangelium.
And that is our relationship with God.
Og det er vårt forhold til Gud.
What is eternal life?
Hva er evigt liv?
John chapter 17 will tell you eternal life is a relationship with God. It's knowing Jesus Christ and God who sent him.
Johannes 17 vil fortelle deg at det evigt liv er å ha et forhold til Gud. Det er å kjenne hans sønn og Gud.
It's a personal knowledge.
Det er personlig kjennskap.
You see, Jesus, he says, I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep.
For Jesus sier at jeg kjenner sauene mine, og de kjenner meg.
And I give them eternal life.
Og gir de evigt liv.
You know, Paul will talk about justification.
Du ser det at Paulus, han snakker om rettferdighet.
And Peter will talk about salvation.
Og Peter snakker om frelsen.
But John is going, and Luke will talk about salvation and forgiveness.
Og Lukas snakker om frelse og tilgivelse.
But John will talk to you about what?
Men Johannes, hva snakker han om?
Eternal life.
Evigt liv.
All the different writers have their own emphasis and their own way of describing salvation.
Alle forskjellige forfatterne har sin egen vektlegging, sin egen måte å beskrive frelsen på.
But with John, it's about receiving the right or the power to become a child of God, chapter 1, verse 14.
Men når det gjelder Johannes, så handler det om å få makten eller retten til å bli Guds barn.
It's about being born anew, or maybe better translated, born from above.
Det handler om
by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God.
Bli født på ny, eller kanskje bedre oversett, født ovenfra med Guds ånd og Guds ord.
It's in John's gospel we hear about being a child of the devil.
Det er Johannes evangeliet du hører om å være et djevelens barn.
And the son of God.
Og det du hører om å være en av Guds barn, Guds sønn.
Where in the book of Mark would you talk about a personal relationship with God?
Hvor I Markus evangeliet finner du snakk om et personligt forhold til Gud?
You see, we're talking about the heart of the book now.
For nå snakker vi om hjertet I boken,
ser du. And we've been led to the heart of the book by a strange Bible verse.
Og vi blitt ledet til hjertet I boken av et merkeligt bibelvers.
You know, if we're like a cat, a little kitten, you know, it has a ball of yarn and it starts pulling on the ball of yarn.
For hvis vi som en liten kattunge, så har en liten lite garnnøster, så begynner å dra I det.
Let's start with these six discussions with women.
La oss da begynne med disse seks samtalene med kvinner.
And let's see where it takes us.
Og så se hvor vi havner henne.
As it unrolls for us, one of the deepest mysteries of the human existence.
Når det rodler opp for oss et av de djupeste mysteriene I den menneskelige eksistensen.
Relationship between the Creator Almighty God.
Et forhold imellom den allmektige skaperen Gud.
Who has deigned to call himself Father.
Så har valgt å kalle seg selv far.
In relation to human beings.
I forhold til menneskelige vesener.
And went so far.
Og gikk så langt.
That his son was sent to become a human being.
At hans sønn ble sendt for å bli et menneske.
So we might know him.
Så at vi kunne kjenne han.
Let's begin with the first discussion with women.
La oss begynne med den første samtalen med kvinner.
Look, why don't you read for us verses 1 to 11 from chapter 2.
Skal vi lese kapittel 2, vers 1 til 11.
We're talking about relationships, so we're going to start with a wedding.
Vi snakker om forhold, og da begynner vi med et bryllup. Den tredje dagen var det bryllup I Kana I Galilea, og Jesu mor var der. Også Jesus og hans disipler var innbudt til bryllupet. Da det ble mangel på vin, sa Jesu mor til ham, «De har ikke vin.» Jesus sa til henne, «Kvinne, hva vil du meg? Min time enda ikke kommet.» Hans mor sa til tjenerne, «Hva han sier til dere, det skal dere gjøre.» Nå stod der etter jødenes renselseskikk seks vannkar av stein, hvert på to eller tre anker. Jesus sa til dem, «Fyll karene med vann!» Og de fylte dem til randen. Så sa han til dem, «Øs nå opp og bær det til kjøkemesteren!» Og de bar det til ham. Kjøkemesteren smakte på vannet som var blitt til vin. Han visste ikke hvor den kom fra. Men tjenerne visste det, de som hadde øst opp vannet. Kjøkemesteren kalte da på brudgommen og sa til ham, «Hver mann setter først den gode vinen fram, og når de har blitt drukne, da den ringere. Men du har gjemt den gode vinen til nå.» Dette sitt første tegn gjorde Jesus I Kana I Galilea og åpenbarte sin herlighet, og hans disipler trodde på ham.
Now, this must have been some wedding.
Og dette må ha vært litt av et bryllup.
Because whoever invited Jesus said, just bring your disciples with you.
For en vas inviterte Jesus, sa, ta med deg disiplene dine også.
12 hungry men.
12 svultne mannfolk.
So his mother is there and Jesus is there.
Så Jesu mor der, og Jesus der.
12 men are standing there with golden dinner plates behind their heads.
Og 12 menn står der med gyllene middagstallerker over kåpene sine.
And it's even been suggested that this was the wedding of one of Jesus' sisters.
Og det til og med blitt antydet at dette må ha vært bryllupet en av Jesus sine søstre.
Well, why would you say that?
Ja, hvorfor sier du det?
For the simple reason that Mary is giving the orders to the servants.
Av den enkle grunnen at Maria gir ordre til tjenerne her.
Could be, who knows?
Det kan være det, hvem vet.
The point of the story, it is the celebration of the beginning of a new relationship.
Men poenget I historien at det handler om en feiring av begynnelsen til et nytt forhold, en ny relasjon.
As we read this story, we see new relationships at different levels.
Og når vi leser fortellingen, så ser vi nye relasjoner på forskjellige nivåer.
A man and a woman are in the presence of witnesses confirming their love to one another.
Der en mann og en kvinne som I vitners nærvær bekrefter sin kjærlighet til hverandre.
And that's this new relationship's the reason for the celebration.
Og dette nye, denne nye relasjonen årsaken til festen.
And apparently Jesus, or the mother of Jesus, gets a new relationship to her son.
Og tilsynelatende så får Jesu mor en ny relasjon til sin sønn.
I mean, if you're living at home, even if you're 30 years old,
for jeg mener, hvis du bor hjemme når du 30 år gammel.
And I have a 32-year-old who until recently lived at home.
Og jeg har en 32-åring som helt inntil nylig bodde hjemme.
It's common for a mother to give commands.
Så är det vanligt för en mor att ge han ordrar?
Or at least tips to the son, adult son.
I det minsta tips till den vuxna sonen.
But she gets brought up short. Jesus says to her, "Woman, what do we have to do with one another?"
Men Jesus avbryter henne och säger, "Kvinna, vad har med mig varandra att göra?"
Now that's offended some of my Catholic friends.
Och där är några av mina katolska vänner som blir förnärmade.
That Jesus would talk that way to his mama.
Att Jesus kunde finna på att snacka och sånt.
But he's using a polite word he would also use to address the queen.
Men han brukar ett höfligt ord som han ville brukt hvis han snackade till dronningen.
But he's making one thing very clear.
Men han ger en ting voldsomt klart.
She is a human being.
Hun är ett människa.
And his hour has not yet come.
Och hans timme är ännu inte kommen.
You know, probably this woman realized he was about to do something.
Sannsynligvis uppfattar denna kvinna att han skulle till att göra något.
Jesus, they're running out of wine here.
Och så kommer säger att Jesus är i fall med att gå tom för vin här.
And he reminds her that the time has come in his life where he takes his orders from the Father.
Och hur minnan på att det tio kommer i hans liv där han.
So she has a new relationship.
Tar emot order ifrån Fadern.
But let's think about relationships on another level.
Men låt oss tänka på relationer på ett annat.
The water has run out at a, the wine has run out at a wedding.
Det går tom för vin i ett bröllop.
Now I grew up in a Baptist church.
Nu är det sådan att jag växte upp i en baptist menighet.
And I grew up hearing we don't smoke and we don't chew, we don't go with the girls that do and we don't drink.
Men
that's a fascinating
Well, I was always told that Jesus made very nice grape juice, you see.
Men jag blev alltid lärt att Jesus lagde druvsaft.
It couldn't be that Jesus made wine because we don't drink wine.
För det du tänker likt att Jesus lagde vin för vi dricker inte vin.
One of those guys, a pastor told me, a Baptist pastor told me recently, he says, "Do you drink wine?" He says, And I said, "Well, I wonder why you're asking." He said, "Well, we don't drink wine." I said, "Well, that's good."
Det var en baptist pastor som spurte mig här för en stund sedan, "Dricker du vin?" Och jag spurde mig spurs, "Men jag dricker inte vin, jag är
bra." I said, "Brother, you're a Baptist, you like John the Baptist."
Så säg, "Du är en baptist, du likar väl Johannes Döparen då?"
And I'm like the Lord Jesus.
Du är lika han, jag är lika Herren Jesus.
No, no, this is not grape juice, people.
Men detta här är inte druvsaft, folk.
Because the spisemeis are the superintendent of the wedding.
För kökmästaren på bröllopet.
When he gets this wine.
När han får denna vinen.
He says to the groom, "You know you're a fool."
Så säger han till brudgummen, "Du är en tosk."
First you give the good wine.
Först så ger du ut en god vin.
And when the people have had a little bit to drink and they're happy and they can't tell the difference.
Och när folk har fått att dricka och blir en gott i lag så ger du dig något så lite kan känna forskning.
Then you give them the cheap wine.
Så då är det vanligt att ge dig den billiga vinen.
But you saved the good wine until now.
Men du har sparat en god vin till nu.
Now that was a very fine wine.
Det var en skicklig god vin.
The Bible warns against drinking too much of it.
Och Bibeln advarar emot att dricka för mycket av den.
But think about that for a moment.
Men tänk på det ett ögonblick.
It's a wedding.
Det är ett bröllop.
Relationship between a man and a woman.
Det är en relation mellan man och en kvinna.
And the wine runs out.
Och så går det tomma för vin.
You know when I read my Old Testament?
Vet du när jag läser mitt gamla testamentet?
The fable of Jotham, you know? In the book of Judges.
Och läs om Jotam i Domarnas bok.
The vine says that God has given him his fruit to make the hearts of men and gods rejoice.
Den är liknelsen där vinträet säger att Gud har gett han sin frukt för att göra människor och gudar glada.
The Psalms liken wine to human joy.
Och i psalmen så blir vin sammanlignat med mänsklig glädje.
Certainly wine properly used.
Och det är helt klart, det handlar helt klart om vin som blir brukt på rätt måte.
If you read the Old Testament prophets, especially Isaiah, he will talk to you about the coming messianic banquet.
Och om du läser profeterna i det gamla testamentet, speciellt Jesaja, så vill de fortälla om den kommande messianska banketten.
Covered with the knowledge of God, like the waters cover the floor of the sea.
Där jorden är fylld av Guds kunskap som havet täcker havbotten.
And the joy Of the festival, the fine wine.
Och gleden I festen, den fine vin.
Let's put this thing together.
Låt oss snurra detta upp.
What has happened to many marriages today?
Vad är det som hänt med många äktenskap idag?
The wine has run out.
Jo, det går tomma för vin.
At the wedding feast.
I bröllopsfesten.
I don't know if you've ever listened to country western.
Jag vet inte om du någon gång hör på country western.
I do it about once a year.
Jag hör på det cirka en gång I år.
You know, it's sort of like I'm singing about, you know, I married the wrong girl.
Det synger stort sett om att jag gifte mig med fel
jenta. Or I could get my family together if I could just stay sober for a while.
Jag skulle samla familjen hvis jag bara kunde klara att vara edru en stund.
My wife ran off with another man.
Kona mi stack av med en annan man.
And worst of all, my dog got run over.
Och värst av allt, hunden min blev överkört.
Most of that music.
Mesterparten av den musiken.
I'd estimate 80%.
Jag tippar det var runt 80%.
Is this theme, the wine has run out of our marriage.
Handlar om detta att vi går tom för vin I äktenskapet vårt.
You know, women have read somewhere that they meet a frog and they kiss him, he turns into a prince.
Kvinnor, de har läst en eller annen plass at de møter en frosk, og så kysser de han, så blir det en prins.
Only to discover 25 years later, next to them in bed.
Så bare for å oppdage 25 år senere, på siden av seg I sengen.
Really? Ladies.
Damer.
That was a fairy tale, you see.
Det var ett eventyr.
That doesn't happen.
Det ikke det som skjer I verkligheten.
No matter how wonderful you are,
Uansett hvor fine du
Bodily contact with you is not going to change a frog into a prince.
Så kommer ikke kroppskontakt med dere til å gjøre en frosk til en prins.
Why does the wine run out in so many marriages?
Hvorfor går det tom for vin I så mange ekteskap?
Well, we learn how it comes back.
Ja, men lærer vi her hvordan det kommer
tilbake. Water that's used for cleansing is turned to the wine of joy.
Der vatten som blir brukt til renselse, som blir gjort om til gledens vin her.
Isn't that the problem?
Ikke det disse problemet?
Sin and all of its many faceted forms.
Synd og alle dens former, alle I sine fasetter.
And the unwillingness to forgive one another.
Og uviljen mot å tilgi hverandre.
The unwillingness to forget a wrong.
Uviljen mot å glemme noe galt som skjedd.
The right we have for the other person to take the initiative.
Retten vi har til at den andre skal ta initiativet.
If we would have joy, we need cleansing.
Så hvis vi vil ha glede, så må vi ha renselse først.
And that's the way it is in our relationship with God.
Og så det også I vårt forhold til Gud.
If you would have a new relationship with God, a relationship of joy, it will begin with the water of cleansing.
Hvis du skal ha et nytt forhold til Gud et gledesforhold så begynner det med renselse.
Could be that you don't know the Lord Jesus yet. You probably do.
Det kan hende at du ikke kjenner Herren Jesus ennå.
I want to tell you how you can have this relationship.
Men jeg vil fortelle deg hvordan du kan ha denne relasjonen.
You heed the last words of Mary.
Du hører på de siste ordene som Maria sa.
These are her last words in the Bible.
Dette hennes siste ord I Bibelen.
Whatever he says to you, you do.
Uansett hva han sier til dere.
And imagine what he called on these people to do.
Og forestill dere hva han sa at de folk skulle gjøre.
To go to the well and take water by hand and fill up these big barrels with 300 to 400 liters of water.
Og gå til brønnen og så fylle opp disse her store tønnene med 300 to 400 liter vatten I hver.
And that's not enough.
Ikke nok med det.
He says, take of that water.
Men så sier han, ta noe av det vattnet.
And take it to the master of the feast.
Og gå til kjøkkenmesteren med det.
Now notice, the master of the feast is not a servant. He's the master of the feast.
Og legg merke til, kjøkkenmesteren ikke en tjener, han herre over festen.
In your society, that would be like the town mayor.
I deres samfunn så vil det være cirka sånn som ordføreren.
It's a very respected position.
Det en voldsomt respektert posisjon.
A man who has the responsibility to taste everything.
En mann som
to make sure everything is managed properly.
Ansvar for å smake alt, for å være sikker for at alt skjer på rette måten.
He stays more or less sober.
Han forblir mer eller mindre edru.
He makes all the announcements.
Han gir alle kunngjøringene.
He is in charge.
Han, det er han som styrer.
And you're a lowly slave.
Og du er en stakkars slave.
And you've got this water, and you're going to take it to the master of ceremony.
Du har dette vatten og skal ta det med til ceremonimesteren.
That poor slave probably poured most of it out on the way.
Den stakkars slaven, han tømte sannsynligvis ut mesteparten på vei.
He pours it into his glass.
Og så tømmer han det opp I begeret hans.
And as he pours, it turns into wine.
Og når han mens han tømmer, så blir det til vin.
That seems to be what the Greek tense of the Greek verb is telling.
Det det som det virker som om at den formen det greske ordet står I forteller oss.
You know what that is?
Vet du hva det
That's faith.
Det tru.
Whatever he says to you.
Kanske uansett kan säga till dig. Gör det.
And that's how the new relationship with God is wielded or formed.
Och det är sån den nya relationen till Gud blir dannad eller formad.
One more thing.
En ting till.
On the 1st of April.
Den 1 april och det är ingen vits.
I was married for 40 years.
Så hade jag varit gift I 40 år.
To the same woman.
Till samma kvinna.
And I'm here to tell you.
Och jag är här för att fortälla dig.
That what the spisemeister said was true.
Att det som kökmästaren här sa det stämmer.
In general it's so that at the beginning of the relationship the wine tastes awfully good.
Vanligtvis är det sånt att I begynnelsen av relationen och förhållandet så smakar vinen förfärligt gott.
And as the marriage progresses.
Men eftersom äktenskapet går fram.
One of my friends told me I'm looking forward to the carnival time.
Så som en av vännerna mina säger jag ser fram till karneval.
Kissing the same woman for 25 years is like kissing the wall.
Att kyssa den samma damen I 25 år det samma som att kyssa en vägg.
But in my case.
Men I mitt tillfälle.
And I say this for the recording too.
Jag säger det för upptag och.
The wine has gotten better and better.
Vinen är blivit bättre och bättre.
And I want to tell you this.
Jag vill fortälla dig detta.
The second thing and no kidding.
Den andra tingen och tulla inte.
If you do what he says to do.
Hvis du gör det han säger du ska göra.
You'll know a joy in your life that most people don't know.
Så vill du känna en glädje I livet som de flesta människor inte känner.
The wine will get better.
Vinen vill bli bättre.
Now that was the beginning of a new relationship.
Nu var det var begynnelsen på en ny relation.
Before we take a break.
Før vi tar en pause.
We're going to talk about a second new relationship.
Så ska vi snacka om ett nytt.
Let's look
forhold.
At John chapter 20.
En andra ny relation.
And I'll tell you this story.
Johannes 20, jag ska fortälla dig.
Not going to read.
Den historien, jag ska inte läsa det.
Okay. Mary Magdalene is on the first day of the week. She comes to the tomb.
Det är första dag I veckan Maria Magdalena kommer till graven.
She sees the stone rolled away. She runs to the apostles.
Och så ser hon att stenen rullar bort och så springer ut till apostlarna.
She comes to the preeminent apostle Simon Peter. That's the person she go to.
Och så kommer ut till den framträdande aposteln Simon Peter.
And with him was the other disciple that Jesus loved, John.
Och I samma hans var den andra disciplen Jesus älskar Johannes.
They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they've laid him.
Och så säger till dig att de har tagit Herren ut av graven men vet inte hur de har lagt han.
Note what she does not say.
Lägg märke till att hon inte säger.
She does not even guess that he's been risen from that he's risen from the dead.
Hur gissar jag en gång på att han kan vara stått upp ifrån de döda?
So the two men run to the tomb.
Så dessa två männen de springer till graven.
John being the younger gets there first.
Johannes han är yngst så han kommer först fram.
Ooh, he sees the stone rolls away. He sees the tomb empty.
Och så ser han stenen rulla bort. Han ser att graven är tom.
Peter, you know the old man, you know he has a beard. John doesn't have a beard. He's not old enough to shave, according to the artist in the churches.
Peter han är en gammal man. Han har skägg. Johannes han är inte gammal nog att ha skägg och barbera sig I henhåll till konstnärerna sina malerier.
And I got Peter so old, he looks like he has great grandchildren. You know.
Och Peter han ser så gammal ut. Han ser ut som han har olde barn.
But he was probably 20 years old, and John was probably 17. Well. right now John is 19 and he's probably 23. I don't know.
Han var sannsynligvis 20, Johannes var 17 och nu är Johannes 19 och han är 22.
So he looks inside the grave. Wow! And he sees these clothes laying there.
Och så ser han in i graven och så ser han dessa kläder som ligger.
Laying there like a cocoon.
Ligger där som ett
The bodies pass through.
Som ett hylster.
And John goes inside.
Johannes går in.
And he sees it just like Peter saw it. And he sees this head turban put over to the side like this.
Så ser han också Peter så ser han detta hovdäcke så duken som ligger på sidan.
And Peter scratches his apostolic beard.
Och Peter han klör sig i sitt apostoliska skägg.
And John surmises.
Och Johannes han drar den slutningen. Han är inte här längre. Och det är inte mer att se här. Vad gör man folk när det inte är mer att se? De går hem igen för att ha sig en kopp kaffe. Och det är gott det de gör. De går hem för att få sig en kopp kaffe. Men den här stackars kvinna, hon är inte förnöjd med det. Hur är inte förnöjd med att sten rullar väck?
She's not satisfied with this cocoon. How did that get there?
Hur är inte förnöjd med detta hylster som ligger?
All the apostolic evidence. That doesn't mean anything to her.
Allt det apostoliska bevismaterialet, det betyder ingenting för henne.
Because the only person standing between her and a terrible past has been taken away.
För den enaste person som står i mellan henne och hennes förfärliga fortid, han är blivit tagit väck.
She's not satisfied with an empty grave. She wants a Lord. She wants her Lord there, even if it's a dead body.
Hon är inte förnöjd med en tom grav. Hon vill ha Herren sin där, även om det är en död kropp.
And so she's weeping outside the grave.
Så hon griner ut förbi graven.
And she looks.
Och så ser hon.
I thought there was nothing left to see.
Jag trodde att det var mer att se här.
But there's two angels.
Nå två änglar.
What do they say?
Vad säger de?
Lady, why are you weeping?
Kvinna, varför griner du?
Now you've heard it the second time.
Nå du hört det för andra gången.
And she says, because my Lord is not here, they've taken him away.
Jo, för Herren min är inte här, de har tagit han väck, säger hon.
So the angel says, he's not here.
Och så säger ängeln, han är inte här.
He is risen as he said to you before.
Han är stått upp som han sa till dig.
So she hears something behind her.
Det hör nog bak sig.
And who's going to be in a graveyard at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Kin är på en grav klockan 6 på morgonen.
The gardener.
Det måste ju vara gartnern.
And she looks and she sees the gardener.
Och så snur hon sig och ser gartnern.
Or thinks he's the gardener.
Du tror han är gartnern.
I don't know, because the tears in her eyes, or because he sort of changed his appearance somehow.
Kanske på grund av tårarna i ögonen eller för att han ändå förändrar utseende på en eller annan måte.
She said, "Sir, if you've taken him away, show him me where he is."
Och så säger hon, visst du har tagit han väck, vis mig var han är.
The gardener asks again, well, why are you crying?
Och så spör den gardnern, varför griner du?
Have you ever had the feeling that somebody took the Lord away?
Har du någon gång haft den känslan att någon har tagit väck Herren ifrån dig?
Have you ever felt like you're not really sure of your relationship with God anymore?
Har du någon gång följt så att du inte är helt säker längre på relationen din till Gud?
If you have, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Och visst du har haft sånt, så är det inte något skämmas då.
Have you shed those private tears?
Har du grått dessa tårar, nej?
Knowing that perhaps he feels like he's gone, the one who stood between you and a horrible past.
För det föles ut som han som står i mellan dig och stod i mellan dig och
And the gardener says a word, the most important word in your vocabulary.
Och så säger gardnern ett ord, så är det viktigaste ordet i ditt vokabulär.
Your own personal name.
Ditt eget personliga namn.
He says Mary.
Han säger Maria.
And she answers teacher.
Och så svarar hon mäster.
And suddenly she throws her arms around him.
Och så kastar hon sig om halsen på honom.
She desperately clings to the Lord.
Hon klingar sig desperat till Herren.
You can just feel in the text her insecurity. They've taken the Lord away.
Du kan føle I teksten usikkerheten.
And she holds on to the Lord bodily.
Og så held du fast I han, kroppen hans.
And he looks down into her eyes and he says, Mary, stop clinging to me so hard.
Og så sier han til henne, han ser ned I øynene, så sier han, Maria, slutt å klynge deg så fast til meg.
You're going to have to let me go.
Du må la meg slippe tak I meg.
I've not yet ascended to my Father in heaven.
Jeg har fremdeles ikke steget opp til min far I himmelen.
But go and tell my brethren.
Men gå og fortell brødrene mine.
That I have ascended to my Father and your Father.
At jeg stiger opp til min far og deres far.
To my God and to your God.
Til min Gud og deres Gud.
Where is security to be found in this relationship with God?
Hvor finner vi tryggheten I dette forholdet til Gud?
I mean, I can remember my little boy. I mean, my little boy is now 1.95 meters.
Jeg kan huske min lille gutt, han nå 1,95.
But when he was a little boy, his brother was 1.95 meters.
Men når han var en liten gutt, så var hans bror 1,95.
And boy, he was really secure in the shadow of his big brother.
Og han var skikkelig trygg I skyggen av sin store bror.
I remember one time we were at a football match and people next to us got ugly.
Jeg husker en gang vi var på en fotballkamp og folk I nærheten av oss begynte å oppføre seg
stygt. My three big boys stood next to me and told them to be quiet.
Og de tre store guttene mine stod på siden av meg og sa til dem at de måtte være rolige.
And these drunk men looked at my three big boys and they got quiet.
Og disse fulle mannfolket, de så på de tre guttene mine og så...
But I remember my little boy.
Men jeg husker den lille gutten.
Boy, his chest was out.
Han skjøt brystkassen fram.
He had security.
Han hadde trygghet.
Is the personal presence of Jesus Christ our security?
Herren Jesu personlige nærvær vår trygghet?
Certainly it was.
Det var helt klart det.
Because he says to his father, I have protected them.
For han sier til sin far,
now you protect them, I'm leaving.
Jeg har beskyttet dem, men nå skal du beskytte dem, for nå går jeg vekk.
But ultimately, where is security to be found in our relationship to God?
Men til sjuende sist, hvor finner vi trygghet I vårt forhold til Gud?
Not in clinging to the bodily Jesus.
Ikke I å klynge oss til den kroppslige Jesus.
But in the ascension of Jesus.
Men I Jesu oppstandelse.
To the right hand of God.
Til Guds høyre hånd.
Where he has presented his blood.
Hans himmelfar til Guds høyre hånd, der han har vist frem sitt blod.
For our past and for our future.
Bore din for vår fortid og vår fremtid.
And in this,
og I dette,
his father has become your father.
Så hans far blitt din far.
His God has become your God.
Og hans Gud blitt din Gud.
Notice he didn't say, I'm going to our father and our God.
Legg merke til at han sa ikke, jeg går til vår far og vår Gud.
Because in all eternity and for all eternity future, his relationship to the Father and to his God is unique.
For I all evighet har det vore, og I all framtidige evighet så hans forhold til far unikt.
He is the only begotten Son of God.
Han Guds enbårne sønn.
He is the Christ of God.
Han Guds Messias.
But his relationship to God.
Men hans relation till Gud.
His unique relationship to his Father. And to his God.
Hans enestående forhold til sin far og sin Gud.
Is the foundation.
Er grunnlaget.
Of your relationship with God.
For ditt forhold til Gud.
His father has become your father.
Hans far blitt din far.
His father has become your God. His God has become your God.
Hans Gud blitt din Gud.
Oh, that reminds me of a verse.
Det minner meg på et vers.
What was that for? Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3.
Efeserbrevet 1, vers 3.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Velsignet være Gud og vår Herre Jesus Kristi far.
Who has blessed us in the heavenlies with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Som har velsignet oss med all åndelig velsignelse I himmelen I Kristus.
Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world. In Christ.
Som han har utvalgt oss før verdens grunnvoll I Kristus.
In love he predestined us to the adoption of sons to his glory.
Og I kjærlighet forutbestemte oss til sønnekår.
We are redeemed through his blood.
Vi kjøpt fri gjennom hans blod.
We are accepted in the beloved one.
Vi blitt akseptert I den elskede.
You see, our choosing is in his chosen one.
Du ser det at vår utvelgelse I hans utvalgte.
The love of God for us is the love of God in his son.
Guds kjærlighet til oss Guds kjærlighet til sin sønn.
And so the link that's been formed with heaven, with God.
Guds kjærlighet I hans sønn. Så den koblingen som blitt skapt I himmelen.
It's so strong as the relationship between the Father and the Son, between the Christ and his God.
Er så starkt så forholdet mellom Faderen og Sønnen, mellom Kristus og hans Gud.
To dismiss you from salvation.
Og for å kaste deg ut ifra frelsen.
Would break the link.
Det ville bryte den koblingen.
Between the Father and the Son.
I mellom Faderen og Sønnen.
That is our security.
Det vår trygghet.
The Christ at the right hand of God.
Kristus ved Guds høyre hånd.
My advocate.
Min talsmann.
Righteous advocate pleading with his own righteous sacrifice.
Min rettferdige talsmann som gjør forbønn for meg med sitt rettferdige offer.
And more than that, the relationship between himself and God.
Og mer enn det med sitt forhold til Gud.
And finally, this personal relationship, how personal is it?
Og til slutt, dette personlige forholdet, hvor personlig det det?
I was preaching in India. And I was preaching to a group of people, and I said, "Now, how many want to follow Jesus?"
Jeg forkynte I India. Jeg forkynte til en gruppe mennesker, så sa jeg, "Hvor mange som vil følge Jesus her?"
And 12 people said, "I do."
Og 12 stykk så sa jeg vil det.
I thought, "I don't like this."
Og så tenkte jeg, dette liker jeg.
Because there were only 12 people standing there.
For det var bare 12 som stod der.
No. Are you really sure?
Dere helt sikre, sa jeg.
So I preached about against their gods again, and I preached against idolatry, and I told them they're going to have to get baptized.
Så jeg forkynte imot Gud og avgudene deres, imot avgudsdyrkelsen, og fortalte de måtte bli døpt.
Talked about what it meant to follow Jesus.
Fortalte de om hva det måtte.
Now, how many of you want to follow Jesus?
Og så spurte jeg hvor mange vil følge Jesus.
And 3 people said yes.
Og det var 3 stykker som sa ja.
I said that's more like it.
Og så sa jeg det mer sånn som det skal være.
I think some people are beginning to understand. You see.
For jeg tror at noen kanskje begynner å forstå.
And I don't not want to, I don't think I would want everybody to get saved that I talk to.
Jeg tror faktisk kanskje ikke at jeg vil at alle jeg har snakket skal bli frelst.
Sometimes I think too many people are getting saved.
Av og til tenker jeg det litt for mange som blir frelst.
You see, I get up to heaven one of these days and there's so many saved people up there, you know. I look around.
Så kommer jeg opp til himmelen, så ser jeg, og det så mange frelste folk.
And then over the intercom comes the announcement.
Og så kommer en kunngjøring på høyttaleranlegget.
Would Fred Colvin please come to the direction?
Kan Fred Colvin komma till huvudkontoret?
And I say, which one?
Kallag kontor.
There's 9,347 of us here. Fred Colvin's.
Fred Colvin? Det 9,347 av oss her.
Terrible! How do you get 5 minutes with God, with so many people saved?
Hur ska jag få 5 minuter alene med Gud med så många frälste där?
Does he give out numbers?
Delar han ut nummer till oss?
Is it like, what do they call it? The lottery and the beta hus.
Er det sånn bedehuspassaren?
And then I stumbled over a verse.
Og så snublet jeg over et bibelvers.
And he said to her, Mary.
Han sa til henne, Maria.
And when she heard her name.
Og når hun hørte navnet sitt.
She knew it was him.
Så visste du at det var han?
I'm here to tell you something about this relationship with God.
Og jeg er her for å fortelle dere noe om dette forholdet.
John tells us in another place.
Johannes forteller oss en annen plass.
To everyone who overcomes.
At den som seirer.
They will receive a white stone.
Han skal få en hvite stein.
With a number and a name engraved on it.
Med et navn inngravert.
That no one knows.
Så ingen kjenner.
Except you.
Unntatt deg.
Now, I don't know, married man, if you have a special name for your wife.
Jeg vet ikke, dere gifte mann, for dere har et spesielt navn for kona deres.
Maybe you do, and even your children don't know what that name is.
Kanskje du har det, kanskje ikke ungene deres vet hva navnet er.
Sort of special, isn't it?
Det ganske spesielt, det ikke?
To have a special name for a special purpose.
For ha et spesielt navn for et spesielt...
A special person. And it's a special
person.
Secret between the two of you.
Og det en spesiell hemmelighet mellom dere to.
Whew, that's a relationship.
Det et forhold.
My brothers, my sisters. That's our relationship with God.
Og søstre, det vårt forhold til Gud, så er sånt.
So we'll take a break.
Så da tar vi en pause.